songs like that encourage me. I'm so glad for the Lord's faithfulness to us. Amen. That when I am not faithful to Him, He's ever faithful to me. That is a blessing. That the Lord loves me no matter what I do. Amen. All right, take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 13. Appreciate singing songs that honor the Lord and then that have a message behind them that speak to the soul. And also appreciate being able to look out and see people singing and smile on people's faces. I was looking at Mrs. McCandless over there, constantly smiling. And it just encouraged me that, we really don't have reason to be down in the dumps. We don't have reason to complain. The Lord is good. And even in spite of people problems, there are some people who are problems. I'm a problem sometimes. And in spite of that, the Lord is faithful. The Lord is good. And so I want to say thank you to the Lord for His faithfulness publicly. Amen. Matthew chapter 13 is where we're going to be this morning. And I want to direct your attention down to verse 45 and verse 46. We considered verse 44 last week, and there was something very particular that I was thinking about and praying about as I was studying. And the Lord answered my prayer in this, and I'm so glad. I was debating on whether I should have Brother Elam preach all the services or if the Lord wanted me to speak today in this hour, and I just felt compelled of the Lord to do that, that it was my responsibility and I needed to, and I was very thankful to see the Lord answering my own prayer in that, confirming His will and His leading and His direction. And some of that is related to the message this morning. But we're going to consider verses 45 and 46, the pearl of great price. And as I said last week, we considered verse 44. These are parables that Jesus is giving in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13 is full of parables. And often Jesus spoke in parables. And a parable, if you don't know, is a story. It's not necessarily, it's not a real life event. It's not talking about a real person. It's a story, but it's a story with a purpose. The purpose is to illustrate a truth. And so there's a truth that Jesus is trying to teach or getting across, and often He would use parables to illustrate that truth. Sometimes He spoke in parables in such a way that people didn't understand, and the disciples asked the Lord, "Why do you speak in parables?" And Jesus said, "Well, it's given to you to know the things of the kingdom of God, but to them it is not." And the part of the reason why they didn't understand was because their heart was hard. Their eyes were dull, or their ears were dull or heavy, and so on. And they didn't want to actually understand the truth, so Jesus spoke in a way that would cause them to ask more questions or have more questions. But if you understand the truth that Jesus is trying to get across, the story illustrates it and it drives it home to the heart. That Matthew 13 is full of those, okay? And so when we get to our text verses, this is a parable that Jesus is speaking regarding the kingdom of heaven. And verse 45 says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." Now, as we study this passage and this parable here in this chapter, what we discover is that let me just give you a little background here before we get into this. This parable, along with verse 44, is sort of divided in its interpretation amongst Bible scholars. There are some who view this merchant man as the Lord Jesus Christ, who was seeking out this pearl of great price. That pearl of great price, some say, is the church that the Lord Jesus found. Others view this merchant man as humanity, mankind, seeking out something of great price. This pearl of great price is the gospel of our salvation. Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 13 talks about the gospel of our salvation. Just hold your place here and let me look at it quickly. If you don't get there in time, I'll just go ahead and read it. Ephesians 1:13 says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." The Apostle Paul states that after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, people were saved. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Point I'm making here is that this parable is divided in its interpretation as to what it actually means. I view this parable in light of the gospel. That pearl of great price is our salvation. That something of great value, the salvation we have in Christ, is that pearl of great price. And we're going to discuss that in greater detail as we move through this text. But let me just say this before we get going. This is for everyone. This is for all mankind. This is for humanity. And here's what I'm going to say. Apart from Jesus Christ, no person has any hope of eternal life. Apart from Jesus Christ, no person has any satisfaction or purpose in this life. You and I came into this world, and people say, question the meaning of life. What is life all about? And people are searching for meaning. People are searching for truth. What is my life all about? Well, the answer, listen, is outside of Jesus Christ, there is no meaning in this life. And the reason is because you're an eternal being. You're a spiritual being, and you're an eternal being. This body is going to die. This flesh is going to die. It's going to go into the ground. But your soul and spirit is going to live on forever. And God puts something inside of you. He naturally, innately puts something in you that tells you there is a God and there is life after this life is over. Eternal life. And you're going to live somewhere forever. Mankind is searching for purpose. For meaning. Purpose and meaning is only found in Jesus Christ. Well, that's kind of the direction that we're going to go this morning with this parable, this merchant man who is seeking after this pearl of great price. And again, it's a story. It's an illustration of a truth. Well, these two parables, verse 44 and verse 45, they basically teach the same thing, and that is the value in salvation. And yet, they are set in contrast with each other as well. And I believe that Jesus is teaching his disciples here the great value of salvation in Christ, but also he's teaching that there are different ways that people come in contact with the gospel. Verse 44 says that the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. In that parable of the hid treasure, the Bible indicates here that this man was not searching for treasure. He came upon this treasure, but when he found it, he saw the great value of it, and he sold everything in order to possess it. And we use the illustration or example of the woman at the well in John chapter 4. She was going about her life, going about her business. She went out to get water in the middle of the day, a time when that's not the normal time to go get water. But the Bible tells us that Jesus said earlier in that passage, "I must needs go through Samaria." And he waited there at the well for her. She wasn't searching for answers. But when she came in contact with the truth, she saw the value of it, and it changed her life completely. And she went and told everybody, "Come see a man that told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" She wasn't searching out the truth, but Jesus knew what was going on, and Jesus had intention for this one particular person. She came in contact with the gospel, even though she wasn't searching for it. But when she saw it, she realized the value of it. Well, here in our parable now, in verse 45, what we find is that this man is searching. And he's searching diligently. And when he sees this pearl, he immediately recognizes that it's what he has been searching for. Now notice it again. Verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. We're going to consider this salvation that God has made available to humankind. And I want us to examine the details in this parable and that it reveals to us. And as we consider this pearl of great price and we make the connection with the gospel of our salvation, let's ask the Lord to bless His Word this morning. Heavenly Father, we need You. Lord, I pray that You would give liberty to teach and preach Your Word. Lord, I pray for a spirit here today that would be honoring to You. Lord, I pray that there would not be a spirit here amongst any person, in any person's heart, that would hinder the work of God in another person's heart. Father, I pray that You would have full control here today, that we would all be submitted to Your will and Your way, Lord, to have the mind of Christ, Lord, to have the manner of Christ, as was spoken on this morning in the Sunday school hour, Lord, that You would be exalted here, that You would be seen, and only You, and we pray that Your will is done, and we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Consider first of all with me the seeker. In our text verses, in verse 45, the Bible says again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. And again, Jesus is telling a story here to try to illustrate a truth to those He's teaching. And He says the kingdom of heaven is like this. And so He illustrates it. It's like a merchant man, the seeker, who is seeking goodly pearls. In this parable, Jesus speaks of a merchant man who is in search of pearls. Now, if we were to just step back from this and imagine what life for this man would have been like, and again, it's a story, it's not a real life situation here, but we can imagine as a merchant man, we would discern that he's a man who understands his trade. We would imagine that he's been in business quite some time and long enough to recognize a valuable pearl when he sees it. The text tells us that when he found it, he understood its value. Okay? No doubt he has bought and sold many pearls throughout his time in business. But what the text reveals to us is that his endeavors had not provided complete satisfaction for him. He was still in search of something of great value. He hasn't found that pearl that satisfies the longing to find this rare jewel. And so as he buys and sells probably countless pearls, he continues to seek the one pearl, the rare pearl, that will put an end to his search. And I can make an application from this, a spiritual application. That is the way that many people live. I've lived this way. Countless others have lived this way. Prior to coming to Christ in salvation, I was searching for something for my soul. Some people try various forms of religion to bring some sort of satisfaction to their spiritual being. Some people attempt to satisfy the longings of their heart and the longing of their soul with pleasures of this life. Maybe other people find themselves addicted now to some substance because there was something missing in their soul that they're trying to fill up, they're trying to find satisfaction for, and they're searching in all the wrong places and they've never found that satisfaction. Maybe there's some people who even attend a Bible-believing church who are active in service and activity in the church, still looking, still seeking to bring satisfaction to their soul. Some people are trying to find peace and contentment. But again, there is nothing in this world that can fully satisfy the longing of a man's soul apart from Jesus Christ. That need that you and I have can only be met by Christ alone. The world is full of spiritual people. We're all spiritual beings. We're created that way. And there's something inside of us that can never be satisfied with the temporal, with earthly things. Jesus says this man was a merchant man who understood the value of his trade, but he had never found what he was looking for. Now notice the search. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Now Jesus doesn't give more detail beyond that. He doesn't reveal how long this man had been in business. He doesn't reveal how long this man had been searching. He doesn't reveal where this man had searched and where his search had taken him. We know nothing of the number of pearls that he had bought and sold in the past. All we know is that his search continues. Surely as a merchant, though, he's probably seen some of the best pearls known to man. He's probably handled pearls that seem to have some value, but no satisfaction has been found, and so his search continues. Maybe he's owned and traded many. No doubt he will recognize, though, immediately when he finds what he's been looking for. Well, you know, our world is filled with many who spend their entire life searching for that one thing that will make their life complete, searching for that one thing that will bring purpose, bring peace, bring security. You talk to people out on the street, maybe you talk to people in the workplace, maybe you talk to people in the grocery store. If you had conversations with people, some may not admit or want to admit that they're a spiritual being. Some people think that, you know, you live and then you die and then you cease to exist. That's not true. We're all spiritual beings. God created us that way. And there's an inborn desire in the soul and a need to worship something. That's how we were created. We all contemplate death as well. We all think about the fact of that this life is going to be over. What's next? What lies beyond the grave? And many go from one organization and one religion or one activity to another, trying to find purpose and meaning for their life. They're searching for something. I think we see examples of that in the Scripture. Go over to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. In Acts 8, we find the account and the narrative of the Ethiopian eunuch. And the Bible tells us that this man was a man of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. And it's interesting that we find here, and well, let's go down to verse 26, we'll start there. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and note this, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. His purpose was to come and worship. His purpose was seeking God. Verse 28 says, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the Scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same Scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. and he baptized him. And when he was come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Here's a situation in which a man was searching for God. He had come to Jerusalem for to worship, but he was returning and he was reading in the scriptures, and the idea here is that he did not find what he was looking for when he went to Jerusalem to worship God. There was still something missing. And as he's returning home, the Spirit of God said to Philip, go near that and join thyself to that chariot. And he's running alongside the chariot, we can imagine, and he's hearing him reading out of the prophet Isaiah. And he says, do you understand what you're reading? And he says, no, how can I except some man should guide me? Please tell me what this is about. And the Bible says that Philip opened his mouth and preached unto him Jesus. And the point is, when he heard the truth, when he came into contact with the gospel according to the Word of God and according to Jesus Christ, he understood, this is what I'm looking for. And the Bible says that he confessed with his mouth, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. And it changed his life. He went on his way rejoicing. He found what he had been searching for. He saw the value of it. And I think if we could probably go through the room and talk to various people, how did you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? What were the circumstances of your life? When did you come to realize this is what I was looking for, you were looking for? We probably would find different stories that some people, they weren't searching for truth, but someone came along and witnessed to them and gave them the gospel and they understood, this is what I need, and they got saved. Other people, like myself, for example, were in a situation or a state where I was looking. I realized the world never could satisfy. I tried it all and I was unsatisfied, and I knew that the truth of God's Word. I was in a situation in my own life where there was a period of time before I came to know the Lord that I knew and I believed that Jesus Christ died for my sin. I knew that Jesus was the way of eternal life. I knew what that pearl looked like, but I hadn't received it yet in my heart. And there was a time when my life was really, really empty, filled with doubt, filled with fear, uncertainty. There was a time when I was longing for something that I desperately needed. And what I'm saying is, there are people in this world who are searching for something. And when they come into contact with the truth of God's Word and the gospel, there's something about it that strikes home. But this is what is true. This is what I need. Notice verse 46. Verse 46 of our text, go back to Matthew 13. Sorry, we're in Acts 8 there, but go back to Matthew 13. And I want you to note the selection. Verse 46 says, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Who, when he had found one pearl of great price, in his continual, relentless search, the merchantman finally discovered this one pearl of great price. There was no question in his mind of the value of what he had just found. He immediately knew this was the one that he had been searching for, and there was nothing that compared to it. For the merchant, this was the discovery of a lifetime. And all of a sudden, his search was over. And the application I would make to that is, like the merchant man, myself, countless others have made that discovery in Christ. And as a person comes under the sound of the gospel. The Holy Spirit of God reveals the Lord Jesus Christ to them. The Holy Spirit of God begins to work and to move in them to say, this is what is true. And there's something in their soul that points to the fact that this is true. I've tried other religion. I've tried and listened to these other things in life, but none of them have satisfied my soul. But when I heard this, there was something in it that said, this is what I need. This is what's true. By the way, truth is exclusive. Let me just tell you that. There's not 15, 20, 30 different ways to heaven. There's not all these different avenues that lead us to the same place. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Truth is exclusive. And sometimes people have to come to the realization that all the philosophies of the world or the way that I think or we want to be all-inclusive in all of these things. No, not when it comes to spiritual things. Not when it comes to truth. Truth is exclusive. God is creator. He is the way of salvation. We are His creation. He is the owner and maker of heaven. Amen? And He's the one who sets the way. We have to come into submission to that. But people will try all their life. We want to be all inclusive, and they live their life in this way. There's all these different ways to God, but there's coming a point in time when they're going to die, and they're going to stand before God, and they're going to realize that all of that was wrong. There's only one way, and it's through Christ. And what I'm saying is, in our text, this merchant man, when he had found, he recognized that this is the one of value. And you know, when people come under the sound of the gospel and the Holy Spirit reveals Christ to them, they begin to realize that He alone can meet the great need of their soul. He's the one who can reconcile us to God. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is in the name of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for He hath made Him, that's Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And as people begin to embrace the truth of the gospel and understand their own great need, listen, the search is over. Amen? Notice verse 46 again, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Here's the sacrifice. The merchant immediately recognized the value of this particular pearl. He knew he could not let this slip away. This is the one he had been searching for, and he was willing to part with everything that he owned in order to possess this single pearl. Let me make an application here, and it's with a caution. Sometimes people misunderstand what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is not saying that you can purchase your salvation. That's not what He's saying. He doesn't imply that in any way. We know that salvation is a free gift of God's grace. It is by grace through faith, not our works. Amen. Lest any man should boast. What this is demonstrating is a repentant heart, a willingness to let it all go. That there's nothing more valuable than having Jesus Christ and being willing to let Him have it all. We must regard our relationship with Christ as the most valuable possession we could ever have. Philippians chapter 3, turn over there. In Philippians chapter 3, there's another application that we could make with that. It's a kingdom of heaven parable. And Jesus said that if a person was not willing to take up his cross, he was not worthy of Him. And the idea behind that is dying to self. The idea behind that is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ, There can't be other things that are gods in our life. You got to be willing to die to self and die and give, listen, and be willing in the heart at least to surrender and yield it all to the Lord, to truly follow Him. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. Complete surrender to Christ. But in Philippians 3 and verse 7, note here, Paul says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or arrived, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." The Apostle Paul was one who regarded his relationship with Christ as the most valuable thing. And he said, those things that were gained to me, I count them but dung. Count them as loss, that I may win or gain Christ. And he says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship or the partnership of His suffering. The Apostle Paul realized the value of what he had in Christ and was willing to lay it all down for Christ. Verse 46 of our text here, one more thing. In Matthew 13, we note the security. In Matthew 13 and verse 46 here, "Who when he had found the one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." Now, just think with me for a moment the excitement that this merchant must have felt at this moment. He had spent his life searching for this one pearl. And when he finally found it, he was so certain of its value that he sold everything he had to buy this. Knowing its value, he felt secure that this possession was greater in value than anything that he had ever had all put together. He was so certain of that, that he parted with everything in order to obtain this. His valuable possession offered him security. And I could make a spiritual application here when it comes to salvation. The same is true for every believer. Those who've been saved by the grace of God have become a child of God. They have something that contains great security, amen, in this life and in the next. I'm not saying that we won't have struggles in this life. I'm not saying we won't face difficulties in this life, but the saved person has something that endures beyond the grave and will spend eternity with Christ Jesus our Lord because of His good grace in our life, because of this relationship we have with Him. Listen, my eternal destiny is settled. I'm secure in Christ. I could die today, and I know that I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. My question for you is this: is your eternal destiny secure? If you died today, where would you go? John 10:28 says this, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." The Bible teaches us that once you're saved and once you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're always saved. And heaven will be your home. Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. If God is the one who gives it, God is the one who secures it. This is a passage of assurance and comfort too. It's also a passage of certainty. And my question this morning as we close, do you possess the pearl of great price? Salvation in Jesus Christ. You might be searching. You might have questions. You might be looking here. You might be looking there. You might be trying this. You might be trying that. But you've never found satisfaction. You've never found the answer. But as you hear the gospel preached, as you come under the sound of the gospel, as you read the Word of God concerning Jesus Christ, there's something inside of you that is ringing true, that this is what I've been searching for. The question is, have you responded to the call of salvation? Have you repented of your sin? Put your faith in Christ. If not, your search is going to continue. Because there's nothing that's going to bring peace to your soul outside of Jesus Christ. He alone can save. He alone can meet the need of the soul. He alone can fill the voids of our soul and spirit. If you're unsaved, come to Christ today. Be saved. You can be. If you're a child of God, are you thankful to the Lord for what He's done in your life? We need to be willing to let the Lord have it all. As a child of God, we're called to be disciples, followers of Jesus Christ. But sometimes we start to take back the reins and start to take back control of life. Sometimes we want to be the one who's in charge and we're not as yielded to the Lord as we once were. Sometimes we start to lose sight of the value of our salvation. Let's ask the Lord to help us, again, to be thankful unto Him for what He's done. Even recommit. Lord, my life is Yours. There's nothing more valuable than You in my relationship with You. You can have it all. I'm Yours. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You'd use Your Word today to draw men to Yourself. I pray for the one who has been searching, seeking, for something that has eluded them, something that would bring meaning, purpose, satisfaction to their life. Maybe there's some who've tried a lot of different things, but the search continues. Lord, I pray that the Word of God and the Spirit of God would penetrate the heart to ring the bell. This is it. This is truth. Lord, only You can do that. But we know Your Word is true. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. And it supernaturally speaks to the soul. And Father, I pray that You would give understanding, spiritual understanding, open up those spiritual eyes, even like with that Ethiopian eunuch who was seeking God, who went to worship, but he left not finding what he was looking for. Until, by the Spirit of God, You led Philip across His path to explain unto him and preach unto him Jesus. That changed everything in his life that day. And Lord, I pray that You would do the same for that searching soul. And I pray for God's people. Lord, we can be guilty of losing sight of the value of what we have in Christ and At one point in our Christian life, we were overjoyed at being saved, the burden gone, a heart of surrender to the Lord. Lord, take my life and use it. I'm yours. And over time, the flesh and self-will has reclaimed some ground, and we're not as surrendered and yielded as we once were. We're not joyful in the Lord as we once were. It's as if we have been a Christian this long, as somehow if we deserve, we've deserved it. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to see afresh that we're guilty sinners who are in need of the mercy and grace of God. And you stepped in, changed our life, took the burden of sin away. You give meaning and purpose to this life, but only when we yield to you and are surrendered to you. Sometimes Christian people are the most frustrated people because they're not fulfilling their true purpose if they're living life for themselves. So Lord, whatever it is that you might want to do in hearts today, I pray that you would accomplish it, and may your will be done, and may you be glorified in it all. In Jesus' name, amen.